We'll start over. We're learning today in the memory of Karen's father, whose name was
Shimon Reuven Ben Shalom Tzvi.
This is his first Yahrzeit, right?
First Yahrzeit.
So it's a closing of one circle, like the end of the first year.
It happens to be my son's birthday.
Right. So it's
English birthday, but it's like the ultimate comfort.
Yeah. As I've said, you know, we never move on, but we continue in the. With the values of our loved ones, and the idea of learning in memory of and eating and making a bracha in this memory, I think is something very valuable. So thanks for sponsoring, and let's learn. We're going to talk about the story of Lashon Hara, or what happened to Miriam, because I recently came across again yesterday, a piece by Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz in Sichot Musar, about what happens when we hurt other people. Okay, so we've learned it before, but we're going to learn it from a different perspective. So, if you turn to Perek Yud Bet in Baha Lotcha, this week's parsha is Baha Lotcha. You want to use a little? Yeah, Okay, if you look to Baha Lotcha, we're going to start with the story of the Lashon Hara of Aaron and Miriam. And we're going to focus on specific details in the text, which are really interesting. When you read the text, there are certain words that are just really, really, really interesting that seem out of place. And the Mefarshim, to a large degree that I've seen, don't know what to do with them.
Right.
Okay, that they're just really interesting. So before we understand, I think that in this context, it's important to understand what comes before or what came before. Great. What came before? The story that came before, just briefly, we know what happened. The story that came before is that the Jewish people wanted meat. We remember all the great food that we had in Mitzrayim, right? Great food, right? So that, you know, like, because it's always, you know, remember better. You remember things, you only remember the good, okay? And they complained, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, where am I going to get meat for all these people? And God said, well, I don't have enough meat for you. So they brought so HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the slab, the 72, the quail. And there was so much quail, they were flying on a low level that they had these piles and piles of quail, and then as soon as anybody took a bite of the quail, he died. Okay, it was very, like,
The person died,
not the quail died. Okay, but at the time, Moshe Rabbeinu complains to God, like, what?
The quail was already dead when he took the bite.
I would say, did you have the chicken or the meat or the fish? But
nobody
else. Daniela gets the reference. Okay, that's right. they still don't get it. Never choose David. Never eat fish on an airplane. I think that was that movie, by the way, was the end of Fish on an Airplane. That was, okay. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu complains bitterly, and he says, "Ha'anochi hariti et ha'am hazeh. Did I bear them? I'm like a mother carrying the young." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "Okay, it's too much for you. Have 72. Ask for these 70 ish. Have 70 elders." And Ruach HaKodesh came down and dwelled on these 72 elders from Moshe. I mean, he passed from Moshe to the 72 elders. And then it says that, if you recall, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that after the Ruach HaKodesh left, there were still two other elders, Eldad and Medad, in the camp. Eldad and Medad bitnabim b'machaneh. And Yehoshua says, stop them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, who am I to stop them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give his Ruach HaKodesh to whoever? That's fine. And I say this as a means of introduction because it's important to remember that until that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only source of Ruach HaKodesh. And after this story, it's starting to spread to others. It's starting to spread to the Zekenim. It's starting to spread to Eldad and Medad. And I think that's an important introduction for this for the story that we're about to read. Yud Bet. Vayitadaber Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe al odot ha'isha akushit asher lakach ki isha kushit lakach. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, al odot, regarding the Isha Kushit that he married, the Kushite woman that he married, ki Isha Kushit lakach, for he married a Kushite woman. I do not want to get involved in what they spoke about. We've actually discussed this before. What? Yeah. Okay. Vayom, we've done everything. I mean, we have. It's challenging to come up with new things. Vayomru, harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber. Vayishma Hashem, right? Did God only speak about Moshe? Does God only speak to Moshe? Arach ak be Moshe. Hello, Gambanu Diver. Welcome. Good morning. Okay, he speaks about to us as well, and God heard this. Vayish Moshe anav meod mikol haadam asher al pnei haadamah. It's very, very interesting. The man Moshe was very anav. We translate it as humble. But I'll say this now. We have no idea what anav means. Okay. What does humility mean? What's the definition of humility? Mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama. What's wrong with that word? Right. What should it be? Mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is exceedingly anav. We'll say humble. Mikol ha'adam, from all of the man asher al pnei ha'adama, he's the most humble person. So what does it mean? Mikol ha'adam. Anyone?
He's the man.
He's the man? Thank you.
Well, it's coming right after they've been talking about the elders in Ruach HaKodesh, that he's, as much as they know, he knows more.
What's the implication
maybe
of...
Maybe it's like the octave. Ha'adam. Like Adam is like the man.
So actually, I saw a Perush, I think Orach Chaim, I don't remember, who said, Moshe Rabbeinu was a more anav from every man, Mikol Ha'adam, except for one man. Which man?
Adam.
Okay. Why? What would make a person anav? What is the definition of humility? This is a very interesting question. So, I mean, there are, I'm glossing over literally thousands of works of, you know, of Musar, and you know what I'm saying. But what makes a person humble? What is humility really mean? Recognizing your own worth, and therefore.
And therefore not.
Not what?
Not being proud. I was thinking why maybe Adam wouldn't have had anyone to compare himself with.
Okay.
Maybe for him it was like easier to be humble. So Moshe was on that level, even though he had the say on other people around him.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I often very much think about Moshe in the sense of his loneliness, of being unique and being different. I mean, he didn't even have his wife to speak to or to relate to. There was no one who could appreciate what it is that he went through and the travails of leadership that he had to deal with. And so it's so interesting. Anav mikol ha'adama p'nei ha'adama. He was more humble than anyone. Like it speaks of, like, nobody even could understand his humility. Nobody could relate to the things that he had to address. Now, we said that he knew his self-worth. Okay, he knew his self-worth. And therefore what? I understand, I know what I am. How does that mean? That makes you humble?
We're made from the earth, right?
Right.
Man was made from the earth.
Okay.
The lowest.
Some say that anava, humility, is lowliness. I.e., I know that I'm nothing. Okay? Dale may I invata ul'anata holech, may I invata the mishan pekavot says, mitipasucha. You know, you're going to the worms and the whatever, right? So we're really nothing. It's just temporary. That's anava. That's humility. Ah, okay. So that's the opposite of what we just said, what I just said, of loneliness. Correct?
No. I mean, it's not saying that you can't be proud or feel good about yourself. You're always remembering
that it's not me. That really it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So no, I agree. I'm agreeing with that. But it's not loneliness. It's not degradation. It's not I'm nothing. It's I'm everything, but I'm not. But it's not me. It's only because of the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to me.
And what about your choice?
What do you mean?
If it's not you, then you don't have a choice.
God gives me gifts. Of course I have.
You have to say part of
it.
Well,
a second. Did he have a choice?
Well, Moshe didn't, so that's, maybe we should take him out the equation.
But he's the
epitome.
Right.
Therefore, if you have no choice, you can be humble.
Correct. Correct. Like, these are open questions, that he's anav ma'od. I personally don't think that I think he thought a lot of himself.
I think it's also relative to who he is. Like, if you think of, like, leaders, they have so much ego, and they have so much, they're in charge of everyone, and they've got all this power, and he's up to God. Like, relative to who he was,
it doesn't say that. It says Mikol Ha'adama Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adama. It says relative to everyone else. Yeah, that's what it seems like, doesn't it? Right, it's Kav HaChomer. It's impossible to imagine.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask if somebody today wants to be a leader, right, you have to have a healthy ego in order to in order to want to have that kind of life. You have to think something of yourself, because otherwise, why would you want to go through whatever it is to be? I mean, it's always like that.
Or the opposite. You have to think, this is not about me. I'm doing this for the greater good. This is not about me. It's not about what I necessarily
want. No, but you have
want.
To feel you have
really?
The potential to
you have
do
to
it.
Have a confidence.
Really?
Confidence.
How's that even possible? I'm sorry. I like, I don't know.
I think,
no,
I think
no,
the greatest
you have to
leaders,
know that you
I think
have
the greatest leaders were those, they did what they thought was the right thing to do, but it wasn't necessarily for themselves that they were doing it. They were doing it for the nation or for
But they obviously felt they had the capacity to do it.
Right. They had a confidence. It's not the same thing saying, I'm doing it for myself.
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. Once
you
do something.
Can you be an ego? I think that if you didn't, if you thought, right, if you didn't have an ego, you would say, yeah, I mean, I'd rather just sit and learn. Mm-hmm. I, like, I enjoy sitting in the library. I'll make my contribution that way.
You know? Never
wanted to be there. Right. Right. He didn't want to. He was, it's interesting that yeah, I brought that up, that he was forced. He himself was forced. But okay, I wanted to ask a different question based on this, a very interesting question. Okay, when Moshe Rabbeinu finds out about what happens, is he insulted?
No.
Immediately, right? Like, no.
Right.
Why?
No, we say that he isn't, because we say that,
We say, I don't know if I say, I'm not sure.
I'm just reading the book, which I've said, but it says that, that Yeshua was very upset for Moshe, that he said, please stop them, stop them.
That's no, in Eldad and Medad.
Yeah,
that he was,
Eldad and Medad.
Right.
And Moshe said, no, it's fine. Like, that's okay. People, like, I'm very happy that I just said that.
I didn't ask that question. I'm asking when his brother and sister insulted him, when they spoke about him negatively, was he insulted?
You don't know. You have no idea.
Would that be connected to Anav Ma'od? Is being an Anav, is that connected in some way?
Well, you never hear Moshe say, I did it about myself, unless it's in connection with something greater.
You never hear Moshe say it about himself. He does talk about himself in the parsha when he said, you know, when he's...
He does, but it's in connection with Am Yisrael.
Correct.
So you never he never says, I like cheese, kind of.
It's not personal. It's not about him. It's about him as it relates to Am Yisrael.
But it is about him. His brother and sister are worried about him.
No, I'm saying in this
sense. Really, they're worried about him. It's irrelevant. Basically, it's irrelevant. Ishakushit or not Ishakushit. They were asking, according to basically all Mefarshim, how come he separated from his wife? We also have Nevuah, and why does he have to stay away from his wife? And I believe that what they were saying is, after all of this, maybe he can come back to some kind of normalcy. If he's going to share the wealth, maybe he can have something. You know, they were caring about him. But obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets really angry, immediately wrathful. Does Moshe Rabbeinu, does he get insulted? So the classic interpretation is that he does not, but I'm not sure.
You have no idea what his reaction is. It's not recorded.
Well, his reaction is recorded.
It is?
Sure.
Well, his reaction at the end, he davens for her.
Well, does he? He does at the end.
Pretty quickly.
Vayomer Hashem, pit'om, let's see what happens. So he's just pointing out, mikol ha'adam ha'pnei adam, we don't know what anav means. Anav, I'll read you a couple of mefarshim, says Rashi, shafel v'savlan. Shafel, low, savlan, what?
Tolerant
or
sufferer.
Long suffering.
Oh yeah, not from savlanut.
That's different than what we said.
Yeah,
it's very different than what we said.
Suffering, patient.
Long suffering.
They are. They have the same shoresh.
What?
Sovel
and savlan.
And savlanut. Sovlanut. There's also a word sovlanut,
yeah,
right?
Sovlanut is
no. Sovlanut is tolerance.
Oh.
Savlanut is suffering.
Oh.
Got to
no,
think about that one.
Patience.
Oh, so blended suffering. Yeah, okay. So Chazal sees it in a different way, okay? Anav Ma'od, Midrash says, Midashon One. Anav, Ain, Nun, Vav, from One, La'anot, Kolomar, Im Haya Moshe Shomea Elu Dvarim, Yodea Haya La'anot U'Lahashiv Ta'anot Kenegdam. He would know how to answer. If he had known, if he had heard, then he would have answered. What does that math sound like? That? He didn't know, but if he had known, would he have cared?
No.
Yes.
He would have answered.
Yes.
Of course he would have cared, because if you don't care...
No, you ignore it.
You ignore it. Right. There's a whole essay in the Hamik Davar about how a person should suffer insults. Like that, you know what I'm saying? That you should, don't respond.
You know.
That's exactly it, right? I know exactly what you're saying. Right, ne'elavim ve'enam olvim. That's exactly right. But there's this idea of, like, you know, sort of...
Turn the other cheek.
I tell my kids about that all the time.
How's that go? We actually tell our kids the opposite. We actually tell our kids the opposite.
Right. But maybe you've got a legitimate reason that no one's ever going to find out about if you don't stand up for yourself. Like, even if you don't care about your ego, maybe you should care about the reason that you did whatever act you did.
Well, this is if someone insults you and you don't... Not that you stand up, you just don't say anything. If someone's criticizing you and you have something to respond, maybe that's different. This is an insult.
Right, there's two aspects. There's the practical aspect and then there's the personal. There's always, both of those are intertwined. It's impossible to distinguish between them. Right, on what level do I take it personally and on what level is it, you know, important for me to improve? You know, it's a real question. So God suddenly called them out and said, come to the Omoed, ve'itzu shlashtam. And they all came out. Vayered Hashem be'amud anan, I'm a pasuk hey. Yud bet hey. Vayered Hashem be'amud anan, vayamod petach ha'ol. So God stood at the entrance of the tent, and descended in the amud anan, in the pillar of the cloud. Vayamod petach ha'ol, and he stood, God stood at the entrance of the ohel. Vayikra Aharon u'Miriam, and he called Aharon and Miriam. Vayetzu shnehem. Okay, and they both came out. And it says, by the way, that they were freaking out. That they were like, oh my God, I have to go to the mikvah. You can't just have Ruach HaKodesh. It's almost like today God said, come to Har Abayit right now. Okay, we would go, but you would like, where's the water? Oh, I'm not ready. And that's one of the implications of the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was separate from his wife, was because this presence of God was constant. He was always talking to God, explicit in the Torah. And they, on the other hand, anybody else, had time to prepare. Like it was at night or whatever. They brought Ruach HaKodesh upon themselves. Let's see, one second. There's a midrash I'm looking for where they were like screaming, where's the water? Where's the water? One second. Can't find it right now. Anyway, you'll trust me. That's what it says. That they were like in a panic. What are we supposed to do now? Where's the water? You find it in the Rashi or not? Here we are. Yeah, Rashi, Pitom. Rashi and Pasuk Dalet. Nigla lehem Pitom. God revealed himself suddenly. V'hem tmeim b'derech eretz. They are tamei. Derech eretz means because of sexual contact with their spouses. Right? When a person has intercourse, there's a certain tum'ah. And the way you remove that tum'ah is you go to the mikvah. Okay? And it happens to be that it used to be that there was zigzerah that you had to go to the mikvah every day. The reason you go to the mikveh every day was because you didn't want people to know, right? When the husband was together with his wife, so they would go every day. They remember vatel that gezeirah. But nowadays, there's a men's mikveh, and there are people that are still careful about that. That's why there are men that go to the mikveh every morning, for that reason, because there was an original halakha in the Mishnah that a person couldn't daven without going to the mikveh first. That's the original Mishnah. Anyway, so the same was true of Aaron and Miriam. They're tmeim. Vayut zoakim, mayim, mayim. Like this Rashi said, they're like screaming, water, give me the water, get out of the way, gotta go to the mikvah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you run to the mikvah, there's people there, everybody out! You know.
Emergency, emergency.
You know, like, God called you, you know. Okay? Lehodia, to teach them, she'afe asa Moshe, ma'shepirish ma'isha. And Moshe was corrected that he separated from his wife. So God wanted to basically teach them a lesson. You know, you think you know better, you have no idea what Moshe Rabbeinu goes through. You have no idea at all. Okay? Vayered Hashem be'amud anan, ve'amud petach ha'ol, vayikra Aaron and Moshe, Miriam, vayitzu shnehem. So there's three of them. And then God calls to Aaron and Moshe, Aaron and Miriam, and they come out. Vayomer, shimuna dvarai. Please listen to my words. Im yien riviachem Hashem b'mar'ah, Elav et vada b'chalom adar berbo. God said, "Im yen biyachem Hashem, if you are prophets, b'mara elav et vada b'chalom adar berbo. How do I appear to prophets? In a vision, in a dream. Meaning, God does not talk face to face. With all the nevuot that we have later on, it's a It's a shadow. It's a separation. It's an interpretation. It's a dream. I can't tell you, but you know. You know what I'm saying? It's not a direct. There's an understanding afterwards. There's a Ruach HaKodesh. There's a divine spirit, a person, I think there's a level of meditation. No, that becomes Ruach HaKodesh, and then God actually does speak to the person. But it's not a conversation. It's a communication. It's a vision. Lochen Avdi Moshe. B'chol Beiti Ne'eman Hu. Not the same, my servant Moshe. In all of my house, he is Ne'eman. Ne'eman?
Loyal.
I thought the word came to me as reliable. Ne'eman. Trusted, but interesting. It's so interesting that that's the high praise that God gives to Moshe. He's Ne'eman. It's so interesting. Pe el pe adaber bo umar'eh velo bechidot utmunat Hashem yabit. I speak to him mouth to mouth. Umar'eh. With a vision. Velo bechidot. Not riddles. Now, everybody else is sort of like they have to figure out what God said. What's interesting really is in all the nevuot that read in the Nevi'im, it's not a direct communication. They understand it, they interpret it, and then they're translating their vision for us.
Well, they do. I mean, there are conversations.
Clearly
it's
not.
It's not the same way.
Clearly not.
Right, it's not. I mean, there are recorded conversations, but it's not the same
right,
way.
The conversations are recorded and so we can understand.
Right.
But it's only after the Navi went through whatever he went through in order to have the prophecy.
Right.
Okay? Umadua lo yaretim ledaber be'avdi b'moshe. Why did you not fear ledaber be'avdi?
About my olavdi.
What should it say?
Olavdi.
That's not what I'm focusing on. It should say ledaber be'avdi Moshe. Ledaber be'avdi b'moshe. That's very interesting. I want to point out something that's really, really also that struck me. Go back to Pasuk Vav and tell me if something seems unusual. Really unusual. What does God say to Aaron and Miriam that doesn't make any sense at all? Why? Tell me why.
Because haven't they already are. So it's like, is he taking that away from them?
If you
are a prophet.
Right.
If you are.
Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. Anyone? Anyone? Just doesn't make any sense that God says this. I don't have no good answer.
Why say b'mamre?
You're all skipping it. Yeah. Nope. Shimuna dvarai. Shimu na dvarai. What is na?
Please.
What the?
I think it's poetic.
Poetic? What did God call them out to do?
I think no.
What did God call them out to do?
I think strength in shimu dvarai is shimu na dvarai.
Forget the first of all, the whole phrase makes no sense. If I skip that phrase, vayomer imi yani dvarachem, he calls them out and he says to them, where in the Torah do we hear that God says? Shimuna dvarai. But God says... No. But God says to somebody, like, who says that when you say Shimuna? Who introduces what their words are? Someone asking somebody for something. What kind of bakasha is there? He's about to dress them down and punish them severely. What in the world, Shimuna Dvarai? Please listen to me. Anyone? I have one answer, but I'm not happy with it. Got one?
Well, it's not like they're anyone. They're not just anyone in Am Yisrael.
Yes.
They're important people in Am Yisrael.
Vis-a-vis God?
Yes. I mean, Aaron's the Kohen. Of course he's important.
Do God have to ask him for permission for them to listen?
If your I won't say your favorite child, but if one of your children does something wrong, you don't just suddenly blast them, you do it in a decent way. They're important to you. If the neighbor's kid goes and smashes your window, you'll go and ask them. You wouldn't do the same to your own child.
I don't know. If you're really angry and you're about to punish them,
it's not appropriate.
Interesting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So the only answer, I'm not sure I agree with you. I mean, this God is about to, like, he's angry at them. And he's about to punish them, like, really painfully.
That he wants them to learn from it, like really hear.
Yeah,
what
if
say,
you
like,
scream and shout,
it,
you just
like,
hear the screaming and shouting. You don't hear the...
Because if you like parents that really hear it, like, make this, understand this, and so that this is something you're gonna be different now when you hear and understand this differently.
It's going to change it.
Okay, interesting. So the Midrash has one thing, which I don't really know. The Midrash says, Bikshu, he asked them, Bikshu likanes l'toch divrei hamakom. They wanted to interrupt and explain themselves and justify. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says God, Hamtinu ali ad she'edrosh, wait till I'm done. But, so God said, so Aaron and Miriam are standing there and they're like, oh, but God, I'm dead. And he goes, what? Hold on. Please listen to what I have to say.
Which is totally opposite of what we do educationally today. Tell me what happened. I want to understand. Maybe I'm not seeing the situation correctly, except that Hashem knows everything. So
right.
There's no possibility of him not seeing it correctly. So he has to say his piece first.
So it's interesting. The Midrash is inserting that they were trying to like explain themselves before God even says a word.
And are we assuming that Hashem's talking directly to them at this stage?
Yeah, it has to be. Why?
Because
he's showing them what happens, like, right, what, you know, how different it is, how on what a level. So the only other explanation I could accept is based on that. They can't handle this nubuah. You can't handle it. It's not by coincidence that only Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to God in this way, because he's on a certain level and it's overwhelming. You just, you know what I'm saying? So in a sense that God had to sort of focus them and calm them down to the point where they were able to hear what God said. And that's the reason why God says, Shibu na dvarai, like, you know what I'm saying? You have to listen, focus, concentrate, you know, be here. And that's the only other interpretation I could understand. But otherwise, it's just very, very strange that God would ask for permission. Okay, Pasuk Tet, Vayichar af Hashem bam, Vayedach. God became enraged with them, and he left. What's wrong? Well, it wasn't much of a conversation. They didn't say anything. What's wrong?
Why did he get angry now?
Yeah, right. It should say, Vayicharaf Hashem bam, Vayevad Hashem be'amud anan, you know what I'm saying? Vayom Hashem pitom. Why is God angry right now? Well, how come he's not angry earlier? What's that?
There's something missing.
So what's interesting is, well, let's read the next pasuk, and then I'll say why it says Vayicharaf Hashem bam.
Who's the bomb?
Right. V'hanan sar me'al ha'ohel. And the cloud left from the tent. V'hine Miriam mitzora'at keshaled. And behold, Miriam she is mitzora'at, like snow. V'yifen Aharon el Miriam. V'hine mitzora'at. And Aharon turned to Miriam, and behold, she's mitzora'at. Again, this pasuk is repetitive.
It's very odd.
Yeah, it's
also
very strange. Like, all these, this whole story is really weird. A lot of unusual things. Okay? Who got Sarah?
Miriam.
Obvious question.
Why only?
Right, he's mad at both of them.
He has to serve the people,
but his job is too important? Her job is not too important?
Less so.
Less so? Okay. Says the Gemara in Shabbat. What? So one interpretation is she initiated. She was the one that spoke, and he was just listening. Is that an excuse in Lashon Hara?
No.
Right. What? It's obviously not that he just heard her once and said, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with this conversation. You know, we really shouldn't talk about Moshe. you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, she initiated, but they were talking about it. You know, they had a conversation. So why is he not punished? Says the Midrash. Why does it say, Vayichar Hashem bam? Melamed she'af Aaron nitzara, divrei Rabbi Akiva. But Aaron also got tzara'at. Wasn't just Miriam. Okay? So there's a really interesting question. Amar la Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So Yehuda ben Beteira said to Rabbi Akiva the following. Akiva, ben kach u ben kach ata atid liten et hadin. You're going to have to pay for what you just said. Rabbi Akiva. Why? Im ki dvarecha, let's say you assume you're right, and Aaron really did get Torah. Hatorah kisato, v'ata megaleh oto. Why are you saying that Aaron got Sarat? Okay, let's say you're right. Let's say you got Sarat. But obviously God didn't want to talk about Aaron's Sarat. So why are you talking about it? Ve'im lav, and if you're wrong, atamotzi laz al oto tzadik. What? Rabbi, so it's an interesting question. Why would Rabbi, like, but Rabbi Kiva obviously disagreed and felt that for some reason Aaron got Sarat, but the Torah didn't talk about it. But it is for us to discuss. Yes? What? You gotta look. It's like coming out anyway, so just let it go.
No, it seems, I mean, thinking of who Rabbi Akiva was and
yes.
where he came from, and understanding that saying something, saying a reality about someone that's unpleasant,
situation.
Right, somebody's situation that's unpleasant, because he himself came from an unpleasant situation, is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. It's okay to face up what the weakness is, and then the strength is in overcoming the weakness. Aaron got Tzarat. Okay, he got Tzarat, and then he did tshuva for his Tzarat. The whole, you know, that there's value
wait,
in the negative.
If Aaron got Tzarat, why didn't he have Tzarat afterwards?
You mean immediately?
Why?
Yes.
Why is she single?
No, she.
But that's an exegetical question, not an ethical question. Like Rabbi Akiva is dealing with a greater worldly issue.
Which is?
About what they're saying about saying something negative about
right, Aaron. Okay, so Rabbi, I agree with you about that. So then you have to ask, according to Rabbi Akiva, why doesn't the Torah talk about Aaron getting Tzarat?
Okay, I have to think that through.
Okay, I also have to think that. It's a really interesting question. So one interpretation is why she got it, because Miriam haita askanit bidvarim. Right, she got it more. Ne'ensha yoter. Right, it was focusing on the fact that she initiated. I don't know. Like if he also got Tzarat. Really? Let's read the psukim again and let's ask ourselves, do we think Aaron got Sarah? Let's read the psukim. Vayichar af Hashem bam vayelach. God got angry at them and left. Did he get it?
If it says bam.
Sounds like he did. V'ha'anan sar me'al ha'ohel. V'hine Miriam mitzarat kashalek. And the Anan left and Miriam is mitzarat kashalek. Now, if you think that Aaron also had Sarah, what's this pasuk telling us?
That it left with the Anan.
And?
So he got it and Hashem fixed it.
Right.
He didn't, you know, it was a smaller punish.
Right. Meaning, interesting. Vihine Miriam, that she still had it. So if you think that Aaron had Sarat, then the pasuk is telling us that when God left, the Sarat left Abraham, Aaron. Vayifen Aaron el Miriam, vihine mitzorat. And Aaron turned to her, and behold, she is Mitzorah.
Meaning he was surprised to see that she was.
Yes, in a way. It was really, it's like the opposite of the way you read it. Isn't it interesting? Yeah.
The interpretation still makes sense. That if she initiated it, then hers lasted longer. His is there, but...
So there's a... There's a
but there
yeah.
is a... Are they also potential lost from the or is this just a momentary withdrawal?
They lost that type, the direct type Nebuah. Okay, why did she get Sarah? Yeah. Why did she get Tzarat in the face of God right then when the Anan left? So I'm going to read you another Midrash. I'm going to read just before we get to that. It says a Midrash. Okay. The Midrash says the following. V'af Aaron haya ra'ui lekach. Aaron should have gotten Tzarat. Lekach ne'emar bam. That's why it says bam. Ela shehaya lovesh et ha-me'il shehu mechaper al lashon hara.
What?
Aaron was wearing the big day kehuna. And one of the big day kehuna is the me'il.
Oh,
and the me'il offers a kapara on lashon hara. And he adds in here, ulufikach nir pa miyad. So did Aaron get Tzarat? he was inoculated. What? Right. He had the booster shot. Should he have gotten Tzarat? Yes, he should have. You don't like that?
No.
Why? I do like that. What? Why don't you like that? Not fair?
Because if it's Hashem can... If he's...
It's protects you.
Yeah, it's protects you.
Something that we all, yeah.
And Hashem can overthrow
them. We all bristle against it because we don't have it. The people who have it don't bristle against it.
It doesn't make it correct. It just makes it advantageous.
Can I just ask, is it possible that she didn't receive Hashem's request? You know, it starts off saying, listen to me, and then it says, he's done speaking, and then it says, Hashem was angry, and Miriam had Sarah.
Yeah.
So is it possible there's a connection that she didn't listen the way he wanted her to hear, and so she got an extra, like, patch type thing?
One second. I saw a pirush on, why did God get angry then?
I mean, it does say he got angry.
Sforno says, thank you, Sforno says, why did God get angry? Shelo nichnu tekaf. They didn't subjugate themselves. They didn't admit it right away. Kamosha asad David. When David said, Alna el natan chatati, I've sinned. It's a really shocking commentary. God is like giving them musar. And what are they trying to do?
Interrupt him.
And do what?
Give their point of view.
But we were just... Oh,
you didn't understand.
Right. You know, you're like, we didn't say... That's when God got angry and said, boom. Okay.
And it's a sign of not truly listening when someone jumps with a...
It's so interesting. Right. Because otherwise, that's a good explanation for why I got angry at them there. Not shot at all. It's hard for me to say that that's a shot. Okay.
Meaning he was angry at his response to his dressing down.
He was angry at their... According
right.
to Sforno.
Not that he was angry at their insulting Moshe. He was angry at the way they handled his interaction with him afterwards.
Because he specifically asked them to listen.
Right, no, but listen, because the order of the psukim is they said something negative about Moshe,
yeah.
He calls them out, and then he got angry. Which means
right.
the implication is that he got angry about something that happened in the calling out.
Correct.
Not, he wasn't angry at the fact that they insulted Moshe.
Correct. Now, Rashi says, not. Achar showed the Am Sichonam, he told them he was angry. Meaning that Vayicharaf is just the informative, he was already angry. Mm-hmm. Rashi says Vayicharaf, and that makes more sense. Why does it say it in this context? I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. So Miriam has Sarah. Vayomer Aaron el Moshe, be Adoni, please, my master. Al na tashet aleinu chatat asher no alnu v'asher chatanu. Somebody help me with the English because it's really difficult to translate. This
said to Moshe.
Yeah. Al na tashet aleinu chatat.
Lay not, I pray thee, upon us a sin.
Okay. Lay not, I pray thee, is okay. Very good.
No, I'll not.
I'll not, please not. Tashet aleinu. Lashet aleinu means to... Okay. Asher no alnu, that we have no alnu. Okay, that we have...
Done foolishly.
Right. The uncle is translated as di'it tepshana, from tipshut. That we made a stupid mistake, v'asher chatanu. And that we say. But it's interesting that he says it about both of us. Al na tashet aleinu chata. Do not, what does it say? Cast upon, tashet, place upon us?
Cast.
Okay. Yud bet. Al na tihi kamit. She should not be like a mit. Asher b'tzeito merechem imo v'yachel chatzi b'saro. That's poetic. That when he leaves the womb of his mother, and his half of his flesh will be consumed. Very weird. What does Aaron want from Moshe? Really?
To forgive
to
them.
Oh! Boom!
Forgive to forgive them.
Meaning?
Meaning that Moshe was upset. Because otherwise he wouldn't forgive them.
Correct.
I don't know, do you only have to ask forgiveness because you've upset somebody, or do you ask for forgiveness because what you did was wrong, whether or not it upset them? It's about you. It's about changing you, isn't it? The whole process of... It's just about, like, repairing the relationship. But you're supposed to... Be better next time from that.
Does it? What's interesting is, what don't we have see here? We don't see the whole conversation, hopefully.
Moshe says
but what
nothing.
Do we hope?
He's silent through the entire thing until the last pasuk.
Right. Right.
And then he's very not silent. He just read the last pasuk already.
Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem v'emor el na refa na la. Moshe cries out to God and says, El, please, na, God, please, refa, heal, na,
please,
la. Didn't Rav Dov have a whole thing on that? El Na Refa Na La?
It was amazing.
It was amazing. You have to go here. It's worth it to bring Rav Dov, what's his last name? Rav Dov?
Zinger.
The Rosh Hashiva in Mekor Chaim to give a seminar on these five words. It's really, like he says, this is the ideal prayer. like El, who are you addressing? You have to know when you're asking, what are you calling God? Which God are you asking for something?
So,
what was the first na?
Hashem,
what was the first na?
I don't remember the difference in
right.
the two na's, but it was you're asking.
Rifa, what do you want? Na, the second asking, he had something about the two na's.
I don't remember.
And then la, it's like the best prayer ever.
Who it's for?
You know, like when we pray, do we even do those things? What am I asking for? Am I placing myself before God? The two na's are placing before and after, right? Before I ask, I place myself at God's feet. And after I ask, I also place myself at God's feet, whether I get it or not. And who am I asking for? So many of our prayers are just kind of like amorphous. You know, it's not that direct, not that focused. Anyway. I'm more interested right now in what does Aaron want from Moshe? Wait, either you have two possibilities that I see. Either Moshe Rabbeinu is angry, and the only thing he can ask for is forgiveness. And then when Moshe forgiveness, the sign of that is that Moshe Rabbeinu prays to God to heal her. Or he's not angry. What do you want from Moshe?
Trust.
What does Aaron want from Moshe? If he's not angry, what do you want from Moshe?
I still think it's trust.
No. Moshe's like, what do you want from me? I'm fine. She sinned. What do you want from me? So what's he asking for?
Then he's asking to daven.
Protects you.
Yeah. Right.
Right. You know. We never ask you, but you know, you do have the direct line. So can you help us? Which is it? Which is more palpable? Which is better? Which do we find more attractive? A or B?
Actually, B is very interesting because they were saying this shows they understand he has the direct line. That's why he has to separate from his wife. We understand now. He's on a different level.
Mm.
And now it's almost like they're coming to terms with it. Now use that direct
line. Okay. I personally find the what was the A or B? I don't remember. Whatever it was. I find A more palpable. I think it's not fair to think that Moshe wasn't insulted. Like, is it reasonable to think that if you're such an anav, you have no feelings? Is that what it means to be the best, the most anav person in the world? That you have no personality whatsoever? You're never insulted? No, it doesn't mean to respond. He didn't respond at all. He's silent the whole time. He said, Ne'alavim ve'inam olavim. But I don't know. I don't think that that's a definition of humility. Humility is knowing your place and understanding, but you still are a person. That's why I think it's really interesting. The Torah calls him, he says, V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. He's an ish. He's a human being. Right? And they treated him, and I think we do this to our leaders. Look, he's not a human. We don't have to talk about that person like he's a person. Right. Why? He's a public figure. We don't think of them as people. You don't relate to them as people. And they have to develop a skin as if they're not human beings, as if they're not people. Do we really want that? Do we want our leaders not to be people, to have to like turn themselves off and not be human beings and not become insulted? I'm not sure that that's a good thing. It's a really interesting question.
You have to find the balance between the two, I think, for our leaders.
Right. You can't react to everything that anybody says. It's true. You know, even in my job, part of my job is to take, you know, students' responses and to listen to them and try to help them. But sometimes they say things that are just
absurd.
Yeah, and you know, and you love them for it. And you really have to train yourself to say, this is not about me, and to just sort of like accept it, write it down, and smile. You know what I'm saying? And the irony is, then they feel better. You know, I have this one student, the school gives coffee. But you can't stand the fact that it gives cheap coffee. It gives like, you know, the what's it called, coffee?
Names.
The Names. And she wants Nescafe. She's like, oh my God, like the whole year. It's like, what? That's what I said. I said, I bring my own too. If you really want a cup, bring a little thing, a little Tupperware, bring your own coffee. We give the hot water, we give you the cups, we give you the, what?
Just wants to be heard.
That's right.
People just want to be heard.
That's exactly what it is.
Validation.
That's exactly what it is.
What? Validation. It's very important.
You know?
And how old is she? In her 40s.
Yeah, he's already. She's mine.
Oh. I just wanted that to be clear. We're not talking about an 18-year-old.
This is
a master's program.
Yeah. She's my age. But it's about that. Now, Ish Moshe, I personally, I find it more compelling to think that Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. I don't want to say, And I don't think it's reasonable to say that because he's so anav, he knows his, you know what I'm saying? He knows his, I think it means that he knows his capabilities. And he doesn't think of it that it comes from himself. But he's still a person. Like, he's still, like, at least my brother and my sister, can't they have my back? You know what I'm saying? Can't they please give me the benefit of the doubt? And then I know they love me. But really? And that's what's so interesting. Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem le'mor, like, el na refan na la, don't get me wrong, like, it's pretty minimal. Like Rav Dov gives like the, you know, Rav Dov gives the beautiful drash and it's such a beautiful prayer and all that. Look at Rashi says.
It's the shortest tefillah in Tanakh.
It's the shortest tefillah in human history.
Five words?
Five syllables.
Less
right.
Is more.
What?
Less is more.
Is it?
Many times, yes.
When you're so it's like going from Zerka, it's not just like...
Right, but when he was so ache about himself, he was quite poetic.
Right.
Men,
Rashi.
Neck, but, right?
Rashi.
Very poetic.
Rashi. Refana Allah. Ibnei malo ha'irich Moshe b'tfilah. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, give us a little more? Shelo yiyu Yisrael omrim achoto omedet b'tzarav hu omedu marbe b'tfilah. That the Jews wouldn't say, his sister's in pain and he's davening. And what sense does that make? You would think that his sister's in pain, like, you know, ham it up. Give me more. Like, really, let him have it. Davar acher.
No, one second. Rashi has a theme throughout his interpretation of Moshe is that so that the people wouldn't say, that the people seem to be very critical of him.
Davar acher, shelo yomu Yisrael. Bishvil achoto hu ma'arich b'tfilah. Aba bishvileinu eino ma'arich b'tfilah. Like, you can't even win.
Right.
Even his brother and sister were critical.
Right. They always had something to say.
All right. Can I suggest, what's the third reason he wouldn't daven long?
That doesn't entirely forgive her.
Maybe. What's another indication? What's another indication that he doesn't, like, you know, like when somebody comes to you, let's we've all had this experience. Somebody really hurt you. And they come on Yom Kippur, and they feel bad, and they know they hurt you, and they really feel bad about it. Okay? And they come to you, and they say, I really feel bad. I shouldn't have done this. I did a terrible thing. Will you forgive me? And what's the answer?
Yes.
Sure, but?
You don't really feel ill.
You
know, no, I agree with that notion. When someone apologizes, it's you right to your eyes, and then you can let it go.
Even if you can let it go, you mean you don't feel the pain? It hurts you.
It depends on the hurt.
It depends
on how deeply it cuts.
Right.
The deeper the cut,
good.
The less...
You forgive them. I don't think you don't forgive them. You do forgive them. Yom Kippur's coming. It's a time of forgiveness. We've all made mistakes. I really forgive you. But that doesn't mean that.
There's a scar.
Yeah.
There's a scar.
In human beings, at least.
Right.
Right? So, does Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's insulted, by the way, it's a huge machloket. Rambam says Moshe's not insulted at all. I'll just quote you with the Rambam in Hilchot Tum'at Tzara'at. He said, He lo dibra bignuto. It's talking about the terribleness of Tzara'at. You know, it's terrible. She didn't speak negatively. Ella ta'at. It was a mistake. She shvato told the Shah Nevi'im. They thought she was like other Nevi'im. But who lo makpid al kach? And he was not makpid al kol elu dvarim. He didn't care about these things. Shede amar va'ish Moshe anav ma'od. The Moshe was an anav. V'af al pike miyad ne'enta b'tzarad. Nonetheless, miyad ne'enta b'tzarad. She immediately got tzarad. So, and Rambam is using it to say how terrible Lashon Hara is. One could take it the other way and say, because they're so, like, why is this Lashon Hara so difficult? This Lashon Hara was terrible. And she immediately got Tzara'at because it was someone so close to him who he really counted on. Meaning, like, if some shlub down there spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, really?
Yeah, you're saying that probably what was going on was lots of people talking
about. I'm sure they were all talking about them. You know, what are you going to do? You do have to develop a thick skin. But you don't want to, right, but you don't want to develop a thick skin towards your sister and your brother, who are your partners, who you count on.
Your safe zone.
Yeah. Like, that hurts more. Mm-hmm. And, like, you could say this, right? El Narafan Allah, he didn't daven very long. And what was the answer? And what was the answer to the prayer? When Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for her to be healed, what answer did he get? V'yam Hashem Moshe, V'aviha yarok yarok b'faneha, if her father would spit before her, what in the world does that mean? Asa Pirush had said that was like their healing for Tzara'at. Meaning, even if her father prayed for her, even if it was im avia her Allah panim zu'afot, If her father was angry at her, halo tikalim shivat yamim, she should be embarrassed for 7 days. Tisager shivat yamim mitchus l'machane ve'achar te'aseh. Nope, she's got to stay 7 days outside. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu prays for him, and what's the answer?
She does not get special treatment.
Nope, no protection here. Why not?
It's a win-win for Moshe.
What?
It's a win for Moshe.
Nothing. This all is a loss for Moshe. Moshe doesn't win here at all. It's all a loss.
Well, it's a win in the sense that if she had recovered, then people could say, oh, see, when Moshe prays for his sister, you know, everything's all handy-dandy. But by Hashem saying no...
Well, now we could say, Moshe prayed for them, nothing happened.
Yeah.
It doesn't...
I think there's a lesson.
Yeah. That...
Moshe prayer is not okay.
That it cuts.
Right.
And that there are consequences.
Okay.
That's right. And that even if someone forgives you, correct. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu comes to pray for you. So okay, so what did we learn? We learned a bunch of things, really interesting things. We focused on the idea of that it talks about Ha'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Ha'adam. Like we focus on that language, unusual language. We noticed it said God says to them Shimuna Dvarai. Very unusual that he asks them to listen. What? Really?
Who said it? Moshe says she will not have a ring.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's not God. You'd have to find another one. Okay. Yosef says to his brothers, "Shimuna chalom azeh asher chalamti." Right. Listen. It's when people want to get attention, but the fact that God needs their attention is a little bit unusual. Right? It's very unusual. We also wondered about Vayicharaf. Why did God become angry after? Right? We also noticed that it said Bam. We discussed the issue. Did Aaron get Tzara'at or not Tzara'at? Was it both of them or just one of them? We talked about Moshe Rabbeinu's short tefillah. And then we finished by talking about the fact that in the end, Miriam was not forgiven. So I'm not going to read it. I'll mention Rav Shmuel Levitz says very interesting. He says the idea of the mitzvot of Beit Adam L'Chaveiro. He said, when you hurt somebody else, he said, the punishment is not a punishment. When you hurt somebody else, he says, it's like you're sticking your hand in a fire. The punishment is immediate. That only if you have the protection of God or some divine whatever, if you have some credit somewhere, then you don't get punished immediately. He says that's why Miriam was Bitzarat Kishalag immediately when God removed himself. Like Aaron, that's why I like the midrash about Aaron. Like Aaron, he just had to get out of jail free card. You know, he had to be the Kohen Gadol. He had to, you know what I'm saying, do the whatever. He had a job to do. He had the Me'il on. But it wasn't like Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do anything for her. Because as soon as she insulted, as soon as she spoke Lashon Hara, boom, Tzara'at. Because that's the result. It's like when you know, as soon as you stick your hand in the fire, it's burned. There's nothing you can do. You can't pray and say not. That's the result. He says it's a very frightening thing. Because the only way out of that is by getting mechila, getting forgiveness from your fellow man. But that would very much dovetail into the idea that when Aaron turns, that's why Aaron turns to Moshe. Because otherwise, if it's really a sin bein adam l'chaveiro, you could pray to God from here till tomorrow.
It's not going to help.
It doesn't do anything. It's a very frightening thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very beautiful idea to learn when we're learning in memory of your father. This is the idea of being, I said I didn't know him, but the way you described him, this idea of interpersonal relationships is a very important thing about how you care about other people and how we relate to other people. And we're so good at mitzvot ben adam l'makom, but we never talk about the idea of ben adam l'chaveiro and the interpersonal relationships that we have, not only in the negative sense, the chas v'shalom, we have to be really very, very careful about how we treat other people, even inadvertently, Miriam and Aaron. But on the other side as well, that the interpersonal side is a spiritual thing as well. That as much as God cares about how we daven and how what we eat and all that, alachat kama v'kama, these mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, the way we treat each other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to really look out for one another and be there for one another. And that's what we try to do. Stop.